Oh, from John 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division amongst the Jews because of this word. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. How can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So far, the hearing of God's word. Well, just as Jeff was praying for us a few seconds ago, I thought about Psalm 23, perhaps second to John 3:16. That psalm is the most well-known and well-loved in the life of the church. And I dare say that perhaps few of us take time to stop and think about that psalm and ask ourselves, what does it mean for me that the Lord Jesus is my shepherd? How does he shepherd me? How does he take care of me day by day? How does he demonstrate his love for me in these ways from this psalm? I think the Lord comes to help us here in John 10 to unpack that psalm and to put his face on all of those words. But as we dig in here, we want to remind ourselves of where we were this past week. And as the Lord then gave his third I am statement, saying, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus had a word to the would-be shepherds, didn't he? He told them what they were supposed to be. The Pharisees were supposed to be shepherds of the flock of God. And he said, woe to you, because just like the prophets of old spoke, you are woeful shepherds. You are false shepherds. Very interesting, I think, that as he called them robbers and thieves, instead of those who have come to give themselves to the sheep that they should have loved and cared for, taken care of, they came to take away, to snatch from them and to steal them. We want to remind ourselves of what an offensive word this would have been from the Lord. Perhaps we tend to think of the picture of a shepherd as being very nice, and we're used to hearing that phrase in the life of the church, and how nice it must have been for those who first heard these words from the mouth of our Lord, hear him described as being a shepherd. But the Pharisees didn't hear it that way. These are people who considered themselves to be the elite of the elite, at the top of their class. They were the ones who had been taught and had gone to all of the right schools and were experts in the law of God. They were the ones who wore garments that caused them to stand out from the rest of the crowd. They demanded a certain sense of respect in the life of the church in that age. So for them to be called shepherds was a very offensive thing. Shepherds, of course, weren't taught. They weren't able to go to school because they were out in the field all day, and they didn't wear fine clothes because they lived amongst the sheep. And as we heard this past week, they laid down in the dirt at night, and so their clothes were filthy with the signs of their trade. For a Pharisee to be called a shepherd was an offensive thing. For a Pharisee to be called a thief and a wolf, doubly offensive. So they are rocked back on their heels here as Jesus has come to them in this way and spoken this word. And that ought to strike us in a very odd way because, of course, God himself had portrayed his love towards his church as him being a shepherd to the sheep. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 78, I think this psalm brings out in such a nice way what the 23rd psalm began to teach us. Psalm 78 in verse 52 reminds us that the Lord himself led his people like sheep, guided them like a flock. He led them out in safety so that they were not afraid. This is the way that he cares for his flock as being a shepherd. If God himself is a shepherd, then certainly all those that he would call to lead and to serve would be shepherds like unto him. That's why Psalm 78 concludes in this way by speaking about David, who was to come to be a king who would be like unto the Lord. David would be a shepherd. He chose David from among the sheepfolds. This was God's plan. And from following nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob. Now that name that the Lord ascribes to his church there is key. Jacob, of course, was a willful man who wrestled with God. Jacob was a man who learned God's ways by hard knocks, and he was keen to kick against the Lord's plan. And so here, by saying that sheep are like that, the people of God are called Jacob because they resist the Lord's plan and the Lord's care. So God is going to bring David to love them and to lead them in this way. With an upright heart, he shepherded them, guiding them with his skillful hand. Quite a picture there for the way that God is towards us and for the way that God calls those who would lead and serve in the life of the church to be like him. You recall that scene, David stood as a young boy that had been picked out from amongst his entire house, and he came to serve Saul, and he served at Saul's right hand. And one day, Philistines came to mount themselves against Saul and against all of his troops. And this one man stood out from amongst all of the hosts, a man who appeared giant-like before them all. He stood so tall above the rest. And so David, as a young boy, came before Saul and said, "Let me at Goliath. I can take him. I'm not afraid of him. I will go out because I have been a shepherd of my father's flock." He said, whenever danger would come against one of my father's sheep, I knew what to do. If it was a bear, I would take a stick and I would lunge at him. If it was a lion, I would pray and I would go after him and save the ewe from the mouth of the lion and bring him back. David said, "This is the way that I've learned to be, and therefore I'm not afraid of whatever would come against the people of God, because like a shepherd, I have learned how to protect and how to save." Quite a contrast here then to the text that was read to us so well. This woe to the shepherds. Woes to the false shepherds who have called themselves shepherds in name and yet have not cared for the people because they fed themselves. The word of the Lord comes from the prophet and says, "Woe." That's a word of cursing. That's a word that says God is against you, and God has something that he sees as wrong that he is going to make right. And what was wrong is that the would-be shepherds did not feed the sheep, but they fed themselves. They did not care for the sheep. They did not care for those who were weak. They did not care for those who were sick. He did not care for those who had a hurt leg. And the shepherds did not go towards those who had strayed away from the flock to restore them and to bring them back. Instead of showing care and love for the sheep in all of these ways, the shepherds of old used force with the sheep. They were harsh. And when you come at sheep in a forceful and a harsh way, all sheep do the same thing. They will scatter and they flee. The prophet said, the sheep are not gathered to each other and to the shepherd, they are on the hilltops. What's so key about that? Well, if one lamb is up on a hilltop, then it can be seen, and it is going to become prey for all that see it. It's in a place of crisis, in a place of danger, and it's the shepherd's job to go and to pick up that lamb and to bring it back. Incidentally, have you ever felt that way in the life of the church? This is, of course, the context here. Jesus says that there are some in the life of the church that instead of caring for sheep, instead of tending to the weak and the sick, those who are wounded, those who are hurting, those who have been prone to go away and to isolate themselves from the church, if in sin or if from a lack of care, the shepherds who ought to have gone after to restore them instead have used force, have furthermore driven the sheep away. They haven't loved and cared for and fed and led, but they've been false towards the sheep. Some of us know what that's like. Some of us know how confusing it can be to experience harm and hurt from someone who ought to love us and ought to treat us gently, but instead has been so unkind. Did you hear the word of the Lord there? Jesus said, I am against them. I will require my sheep at their hand. That is, my sheep have a price, and I will enact that price on those who have scattered them. He says, I will put a stop to it. I will save my sheep. Jesus said that. He said, I will do that. I myself will do that. When the Lord Jesus speaks in these sorts of ways, church, he doesn't speak it as a vain hope or a vain wish. He doesn't say, I might do that if I really need to. He says, no, you can count on me doing this because this is who I am and this is how I love my church. This is what I guarantee that I will do. I will put a stop to it. I will bring my sheep back. Jesus comes now here in John 10, and he wants this all to be very, very clear for those of us in his church. He says, this is how I love you. This is how I care for you. This is how I lead you in my church. I don't drive you with a stick. I don't beat you in my church. I'm not hard and harsh towards you. I am tender. I am shepherd-like. I care how you feel. I care about the way that you are led. And he just counts out all of these ways here. Look at John 10 in verse 3. We need to jump back to the text that we looked at this past week because this whole context is suffused now with what the Lord intends for us to know in this fourth I am statement that he brings to us in the book of John. Jesus says, my sheep know me. I know my sheep, and they know me. My sheep hear my voice. He says this again in verse 14. What does it mean that those of us in his church that are the sheep of his fold hear the voice of Christ? What does that mean? Well, of course, it means Lord's Day by Lord's Day, as the word of God is preached, that we don't just hear words coming from the mouth of a mere man. It means that we hear Jesus Christ speaking to us in his word, and that we can discern the voice of our Lord speaking to us in his word. He gives us that skill by the working of the Spirit of God. So that as you hear the word of God preached, you can discern, that sounds like my Lord and Savior. And if there were to be a day when it doesn't sound like him, you can say, what doesn't sound like him? My sheep know me. They know the sound of my voice. He says, I call them by name. Of course, this is shown in its best way when each of us are called to saving faith in Christ. This is the effectual call of the Spirit of God when he calls us out of darkness into light, and he calls us to come home to Christ. But he doesn't just call us into the church. He calls us by the sound of the voice of our good shepherd, and he calls us to Jesus himself. And look at verse 14. The Lord says, my own sheep know me. My own sheep know me. Now, I don't know about you, but I suspect if we were to go around one by one, that all of you in this room would say, I don't know Christ as well as I wish I did. I don't know Christ as well as I want to know him one day soon, and I wish that I knew him better than I know him today. But isn't there a good word for us here in John 10:14? That despite how weak we are, and despite how frail we are in our life in Christ, that the Lord says, my sheep know me. He doesn't say, they know something about me. He says, they know me, and I know them. And church, isn't that the most great thing in all of the entire world? That we, as we are, as weak and as frail as we ourselves are, can say, I know Jesus Christ. You can get in your car today and go home and hang your hat on that. There are lots of things that we don't know. There are lots of books that we haven't read. But one thing that we can say is, I know Jesus Christ. And more than that, he knows me. He knows all about me, and he loves me so much that he knows exactly what I need right now as I sit in this room. He knows the care that my soul needs, and because he loves me so much, he is concerned to come and to care for me in exactly those ways. Your good shepherd is not blind to your need. He sees your heart. He knows you. And he loves you by drawing near when you need him most. That's how he loves you. And he goes on in verse 15 and says, I don't just know my sheep, but I lead my sheep. I don't leave them to find their own way. He says, my sheep follow me. They follow me because they know the sound of my voice, and the sound of my voice is winsome to all of my sheep. As they hear my voice, they follow me. He says, I lead them out, and I lead them in. I go before them, and they follow me every single step of the way. Church, what a good thing that is for you and me. We are not left to our own. We are not left to figure this life out and to figure out our own path and to put puzzle pieces in place to try to unlock some sort of secret code about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Jesus tells us to be one of his own followers is simply to follow him, to hear his voice, and to follow wherever he leads us, and to hear his words, and to take them to heart. Jesus says, I lead my church. No one else leads my church. I lead them. And I lead them by the sound of my voice. And the sound of my voice is so good to my church that all of my sheep joyfully follow me. If someone were to come to you and to puff out their chest and to say, I am here now and I'm going to lead this church and I have all sorts of plans and you're going to love the plans that I have for the church and just follow me, you should run for the hills. If someone were to come to the church and say, now I have 10 things, and once we put these 10 things into place in this church, boy, we're really going to take off and we're going to soar to new heights. Our name is going to be in the lights and our church is finally going to get up and go. That isn't Jesus like. Jesus says, I lead my church by the sound of my voice. That is in the preaching and the hearing of his word. That's how he leads us. He comes to us with the sound of his voice, and all that we have to do to be one of his sheep and to follow him is to hear him, and to respond to what he says in his word. Church, As I come to serve you, and as all of the staff and all of those who serve and lead in the life of our church come to serve you, we come to serve you by this book, which is the Word of God. We don't come outside of this book or beside this book with all sorts of plans. We lead the church by this word, and we lead it unto the Lord himself, so that all of us might have a firm sense of saying, this is where the good shepherd wants me to go, Jesus himself. This is what he wants for us as a church. But look at verse 17 and 18. Jesus says, yet one more way that I love you and show you how I know you and I lead you is by laying my life down for my sheep. And in verses 12 and 13, he says this is in contrast to the way that the hired hand is. The hired hand is in it for pay. The hired hand works for his daily wage. The hired hand comes with his watch on his wrist, and he says, I've put my time in now, and I'm going home. It's been 7 hours. That's a full day's work, and please don't call me. Please don't text me. See ya. I'll be back tomorrow, say 9 o'clock. And, oh, by the way, could you please pay me? The hired hand works for pay. And as soon as a threat comes against the sheep, he leaves. As soon as he sees a wolf, he runs. As soon as he sees a thief come, he's out of there. Why? Because that's not going to help put cash into his pocket. He doesn't have the best interest of the sheep at heart. And I know that we are coming upon sensitive topics here in this text. But if the church is the flock of God, Jesus is saying, this is not the way that I have come to lead the church, and this is the way that I have come to lead the church, then he wants us to think about our life in the church. He says, those who would be shepherds like me are not in it for pay. The true shepherds who are coming to lead and to care for the church as Christ would have us to don't leave at the first sign of crisis. They put themselves in harm's way. They put themselves in the face of threat. They give themselves to the fangs of those who would come upon the church because they don't want the church to be harmed. They've come to sacrifice, to lay down their life. And if it means that they will die for the sake of the church, then they must die for the sake of the church. Jesus says, this is how I am. This is who I am towards you. I have come to lay down my life for you. No one is going to take my life from me. Jesus says, I give my own life for the sake of the church. Isn't that amazing? Jesus here, speaking about his own death, is saying, in order to be the true shepherd, the good shepherd, I'm going to, at one time, become a lamb. In order to lead you and to care for you in all of the ways that you need me to lead and care for you, I am going to put myself into the teeth of those who have come upon the church. And I am going to pay the price with my own life. I have authority to do that. And no one is going to snatch my sheep out of my hand. Look then at verse 16. Jesus says, you sheep right here are not just the only sheep that belong to my flock. I have some other sheep that are not a part of this fold, and I'm going to bring them in as well. Cast your eyes back to verse 4. As last week, we saw the way that the Lord, as the gate of the sheep, calls his sheep out of the flock and he leads them. Is he not saying there that not all sheep are sheep? Not all those who appear to be true sheep of the flock are sheep that belong to Christ. So he says, out of this vast flock, I am going to call, and some of them are going to come, and they are going to be a part of my fold. And then there are some more that I'm going to call, and they are going to be a part of my fold too, and I'm going to join them in so that they're all going to be one flock. So we have to put ourselves in the context here and know that he is speaking to the Jews in the first century here, and he's saying not all of Israel is the Israel of God. Some of you have the gift of faith and have been joined to my flock, but not all of you have. Those who respond in faith and believe in me and come, you are sheep of my fold. But here is a sign of how Gentiles too are going to be drawn in and to become a part of the same flock of God. Those sheep who are not here, some of them are going to hear the sound of the shepherd's voice and come in as well. And there's not going to be two separate flocks or two separate folds, but they're just going to be one. And I will love them and lead them and care for them all as one church. Aren't we proof of that right now? We live in a place that is far and away from where these first words were heard. And yet we, if today you know the voice of Christ and are responding to him by faith, if you have been joined to the church, then you are a sheep of the Lord's fold. And we are a part of this flock that has one shepherd. And yet we are in all sorts of spaces across the entire globe, Jew and Gentile, both made one in Christ. That's what he says here. We're supposed to be one church. Just think about that for ourselves here. If the Lord is the head of his church and he comes to care for us and to feed us and to lead us all because he knows us all and he has laid down his life for his church and he wants us to be one flock, then why would we divide ourselves? Just think of all the ways that we're prone to divide ourselves up. Married, single. Those with kids who are at home, those who have kids that are outside of the home. Those in our church who like coffee and those in our church who like tea. Those in our church who don't like coffee or tea, but like juice. Those in our church who like to play sports and those in our church who don't like to play sports. We've got a small group for you all. If you want to be in the small group for those that like red, you can come to this group. If you want to be in the small group for those who like pie, come to this small group. Have you ever just stopped and thought why we don't do that in the life of the church? And we need to be very keen not to do that in the life of the church, because we ought not to divide what the Lord Jesus in his body has made one. If we are one flock, then what he tells us is that it's good for us not just to be near to Christ, our good shepherd, but he tells us that it's good for us to be with each other. It's good for us to be together as a church. It's good for the people who like sports to be with those who don't like sports. It's good for those who are young to be with those who are old. It's good for those who are single to be with those who are married, and vice versa. We need each other. We need those who vote on the left and those who vote on the right and those who have all sorts of variations in between, don't we? We need the body of Christ. And if we're prone to separate ourselves or to go astray or to set up camp over there, then the Good Shepherd is going to bring us back. He's going to say, this is how I love you and care for you, not just by holding you to myself, but by holding you to each other. So a wolf doesn't come and try to snatch you away. You know that in your own life, that when you feel that you are all alone and all by yourself, and no one knows the things that I face, no one feels the way that I feel, don't you know from your life that those are the times when the voice of the devil is very loud in our ears? That if I feel all by myself and that no one knows or loves me or cares about me, then I'm going to be so prone to the attack of someone who does not intend good for my soul. But if I am near to the church and close to Christ, then the more I will be deaf to the voice of a thief who is coming to rob me and steal from my spiritual life. Oh, church, just think of all the ways that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, might sanctify John 10 to us, that we would more and more know the ways that Christ loves us and cares for us, the ways that he is tender and kind towards us. When we are weak, he comes to mend us and to make us strong. When we are starving and we need food from him, he comes and feeds us by the very palm of his hand. And when we are alone, alone in sin, or alone feeling far and away, he comes and he returns us to the life of the church. Some of you are here today and you really need the care of Christ. And the good news for you is this. He's here. He's here. He's right here in word and sacrament. And he's here to love you and to care for you in all of the ways that you need him to now. If there are spots in your life that are weak and frail, he's come to make you strong. And some of you are here today and you feel alone. You need the church. You need to be in the pen. You need to be with all those who might not look exactly like you or smell exactly like you, but they're all sheep. Jesus has come to bring you to himself and to secure you within his church right here. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your truth. And just when it seems like we've heard it all and we would want perhaps a more complex word, you show us all of the needs in our life that we have for more care from Christ. So, Father, pray that by the light of your truth, you would show us his face now. You would lift up our eyes to see our good shepherd, and that we would know the heart that he has for us today, and we would sense and feel how much Jesus loves us. Oh, Father, we pray for our church, and we pray that the love of Christ would rest upon us now. In his precious name, we pray these things. Amen.